Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome to News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake, no Mike Max tonight. I'm hanging out here at Target Center getting everybody prepared for a late one, a late tip. Here at Target Center, Wolves taking on the L.A. Clippers, the big, bad L.A. Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, great coach in Doc Rivers. We're going to take it all the way up into the pregame show on the Wolves Radio Network and WCCO Radio, radio home for Timberwolves basketball. And joining me here in this first segment is Cal Soderquist. Cal, I'm happy to have you here. You do a phenomenal job of being the host for the Wolves Radio Network, and we chit-chat all the time, right, either down the line or in person.
Absolutely.
As you get me prepared to take over and do, like, the pregame hits with Paul and Jordana, and I just want to say congratulations on the new role this
Thank
year.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Our guy, John Folkey, moves on to Charlotte, and right. He's got to be having a blast down there right now.
He's gotten so many close games to call, too. They've had buzzer beaters. It's gone both ways. It's been a lot of fun kind of following him from afar. But, yeah, it worked out well for me, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I wanted you to hang out here tonight with me. This is kind of like an impromptu deal.
Sure.
Right? Because initially this was going to be a 7 o'clock start, and then it gets shifted to 8:30, which is awesome because I always want to see the Wolves get highlighted on national TV, ESPN games. So that's awesome, right? But then when you do the adjusting, that means that, well, we gotta move everything around, which is good for us.
Programming,
right? Yeah, exactly. So we're hanging out here. We got other people that we'll talk to over the course of the next 90 minutes or a little bit less than 90 minutes, and then you'll take over with the broadcast. But let's talk about this team that we're facing tonight, the LA Clippers. The L.A. Clippers, after we saw that Kawhi Leonard chose in free agency to go there and return home to L.A., and then we saw the major trade that landed them Paul George, everybody expected this team to be one of the favorites, to be one of the contenders, to be one of the great teams, and they thoroughly have been one of those teams. They played up to the expectations, I think, at least in my mind.
100%. They've almost been kind of methodical in the way they've went about it, where if LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers have kind of jumped to the top of the standings, they maybe get more of the headlines. Certainly we know about the Clippers as well and the success they've had, but they're almost, they seem to have that long-term view of, you know, they're resting Kawhi. I think he's going to play tonight, but probably will rest tomorrow in Chicago. They're playing a back-to-back. By the way, Doc Rivers, not a fan of this 8:30 ESPN tip-off at
If you're playing a back-to-back, you would not like that. You want to get in early and get out.
Yes. We heard from him at Shootaround this morning, and he was not pleased. He had a lengthy comment about that. But, yeah, it's a team, I think, that they really have quickly and comfortably kind of found their identities, both individually and as a team, how things are going to work, either through Kawhi or, at times, Paul George. Paul George is so good off the ball, too, that he's really sort of underrated in that sense as a superstar. So they've been a treat to watch so far.
And I think that one of the things that you have to give Doc Rivers credit for is typically when you talk about putting superstars together, clearly guys that have not been with your organization, right? And this is all new. A lot of times it takes time to gel.
100%.
You got to develop chemistry. You got to figure some things out. And for this team to be playing this well right now, it's a little bit scary, to be honest with you.
It's ego management for the head coach a little bit, too. I think the job Eric Spoelstra did when LeBron and Chris Bosh joined Dwayne Wade in Miami initially really was well done in terms of getting those guys together quickly to mesh. But, yeah, Doc Rivers, he's managed egos before. And not to say these guys are hotheads or tough locker room personalities. That's not the case at all. They're just superstars, and they're used to being option one on their team. And that's why, again, Paul George is so good at that. Kawhi Leonard, too, is a guy that clearly values winning and will do the dirty deeds needed to win games. So I think Doc would be the first to say that he loves having those kind of guys as his superstars.
No question about it. Now, when you look at the Clippers and you look at the Lakers, and the Lakers are actually on the road tonight. They're facing the Miami Heat, and right now in the first quarter, into the first quarter, It is 25-24. The Lakers are trailing by a point. They're playing Jimmy Butler in Miami. It's LeBron's return to Miami, right? And Miami's been one of those sneaky teams so far in the NBA. I didn't think that, and maybe it's because of my bias against Jimmy Butler. I'm not a big Jimmy Butler fan. He can play. I didn't think that they would have enough immediately to be able to be a team that maybe could contend in the East.
Yeah.
And maybe I've undersold. Well, there's a couple of reasons why I feel like Miami is doing or playing at a level that a lot of people didn't think that they would play at going into the season. We knew that Butler was going to be an asset just because he's a good basketball player. You never know the dynamics of the locker room. Bam is, he is a better post player than a lot of people thought that he was going to be going into the NBA. When he was at Kentucky, I was like, man, it seems like he might be an undersized power forward, but he's so athletic that he just gets the job done, and he works extremely hard and plays hard all the time. It's almost like he's the forward version of a Josh Okogie.
Sure.
In terms of his work ethic and how hard he gets after it. But I was a big fan. I even said this to Gerson Rosas leading up to the draft. I said to him, my guy is Tyler Hero. That's my guy. I preached it to Gerson, and he kind of smiled and all that stuff, whatever. And I'm in love with Jared Culver. I really like his game. But Miami is playing some good basketball, and it's going to be interesting to see how things kind of shake out with that game tonight.
100%. And Hero, like you said, has had a really strong rookie season. Bam, especially Adebayo, maybe one of the bigger jumps so far this year compared to where he was and kind of what he did for his team last year. So it'll be interesting to see if it, you know, regresses a little bit for him or if this is just the guy he is now. Sometimes
I think he takes off a little bit because getting Hassan Whiteside out of there, I think that helps him.
And sometimes that's all you need is that opportunity or that to be asked of you. Maybe it's a similar deal with Pascal Siakam in Toronto, and you know there's more on his plate with Kawhi Leonard gone, and he's certainly answered that challenge. So it's been fun to see.
Yeah. So when you look at the Western Conference, the reason why I brought all of that up with the Lakers and talking about them versus the Clippers is because, and I'm not sure if you'll agree with me or not, but when I look at the Lakers and the Clippers, because those are the two teams everybody expects is going to be there at the end, and I don't disagree with that take. The interesting thing to me is that when you look at both and they both play in the same building, who gives a damn about home court advantage? Like, I think that that's a great asset for those teams. People, whatever your thoughts are on load management, whether it should be a thing or not be a thing, I'm not the biggest fan of it. Those two teams can do it because nobody needs home court. Like, if the Lakers end up second, who cares?
Right.
If the Clippers end up second, who cares? They play in the same arena.
And I think ultimately you could maybe make an argument that you're going to have certain matchups earlier in the postseason. But really the West, 1-8, I think we've seen in recent seasons, those matchups are always tough. It's going to be a dogfight. And I think, you know, it'll be a lot of fun to see as the season continues to progress how those two teams, Clippers and Lakers, kind of grow into themselves. And ultimately, if it's a 6 or 7-game series, it just becomes a chess match. You know, each team has their strengths, who can play to their strengths, who can kind of expose weaknesses a little bit better. It'll be very interesting.
Yep. Cal Soderquist hanging out with me here, doing a little pregame leading up to the pregame with him on the Wolves Radio Network starting at 8 o'clock. All right, so let's talk Wolves. It's a little bit of a struggle right now. We got the losing streak going on, but you know what? No better way to snap out of a losing streak than to have a great atmosphere like tonight. When you have fans in the building and everybody's excited about everything and it's a nationally televised game, I think that that's an asset for us tonight. Even though it's a tough opponent, it doesn't matter. The atmosphere, it's going to be rocking in the building, I think.
I think so, and we've seen this team, too, rise to the challenge when the opponent is of a similar caliber as this Clippers team. So that, to me, is exciting. But, you move that tip-off back if any. When the opponent is of a similar caliber as this Clippers team. So that to me is exciting. But you move that tip-off back. If anything, it just gives fans more time to get down here, get into their seat by tip-off, and like you said, see what should be both an electrifying matchup and then atmosphere right from the jump.
And I love a late start. You know why? Because I'm a night owl, right? I'm here till 1 a.m. You know, Ryan Tankey from the Wolves has got me here till like 1 a.m. He probably, if it was up to him, he would probably want me here all night long.
Well, selfishly, I like, once I wrap up my post game, road or home, I'll get into the car and turn on your show. So I like being able to hear that on the drive home.
I guess the thing that I enjoy hearing from people now is that I put them to sleep. All right, I put them to sleep. Hey, man, great stuff. I'll be talking to you, well, after the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're going to do the pregame. It starts at 8, then after the game with the postgame, and then I will take it from you. And then Dane Moore is going to join me. He's been joining me in the postgame because we've been doing a lot of stuff with zone coverage here over the course of the last couple of weeks. Before you get out, when you look at tonight, and we should mention this for the people, and I know that you'll re-mention it on the pregame show, is that it sounds like there's going to be a couple of Clippers that will be out. It sounds like Patrick Beverley is going to be down, and then also, who am I thinking? Oh, Lou Williams.
Yes.
Which is that significant, because Lou Williams is the best sixth man in the league, and we call him a sixth man, but he's like, to me, he's a star.
Right.
Like, I don't care if he starts or he comes off the bench, he's an absolute rock star.
Instant offense.
Yep.
Almost like what we've seen from Jeff Teague of late. You know, he moved to that role with the second unit, and he's able to be a little bit more aggressive looking for his own shot. Maybe Jeff takes advantage of not having to go punch for punch with Lou Will, and Patrick Beverley's a bulldog on the perimeter, so whoever gets a break by not having him chase them around is thankful.
I think that's an asset. David Fima, he's coming up and giving me a hard time. I think it's an asset, man, because that is a guy that I don't want to call him a Wolves killer because he does it to everybody around the league. But I guess one of his greatest assets is that down the stretch, regardless of who's guarding him, he just knocks down shots. At the end of the game, like, I go into tonight's game knowing that in the fourth quarter, Lou Williams is not going to be the guy. We know that Paul George is going to take shots. We know that Kawhi Leonard is going to take shots. But I really do believe for them to win an NBA title, he is about as good as you're going to find in terms of a third guy.
We've seen him make big plays. Both he and Montrezl Harrell have a real chemistry in that second unit on the pick and roll. So we'll see what changes with that, at least tonight from an X's and O's standpoint. But, yeah, it'll be nice to not have to look in the corner of your eye and worry about what Lou Will can do.
I know. I'm with you, man. All right, I appreciate the time, Cal.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll check in with Cal Soto, of course, after the game. He's going to have the pregame show right here, the radio host for Wolves Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.